Welcome to Made in Science, the official podcast of the University of Stuttgart. Our guest today is Dr. Gidok Kim from Korea. He is head of a scientific facility called Thin Film Technology at the Max Planck Institute for Solid State Research here in Stuttgart. He was also a graduate research assistant and a PhD researcher at this university. In between, he worked also in Korea for Samsung Electronics. I want to talk with him about his experiences at the research group and with the research group at Max Planck Institute, about his recent award from Korea, and how singing in a regional choir opens the door to learning the German language. Hello, Dr. Kim. An Nyeong Haseyo.
안녕하세요. Thank you, Wolfgang, for a nice introduction. And yeah, also thank you for finding me and also invite me to this wonderful podcast.
We are very happy that you are here. As I mentioned, you work in a research group at Max Planck Institute for Solid State Research. In fact, you are the head of the research group.
Yeah.
So what is this research group about? We have already heard thin film technology. Could you explore, please, a little more on that?
Yeah. So the Max Planck Institute in Büsnau, Stuttgart, has a very unique structure. So there are groups called departments, which are big groups run by professors and such. And then we have a group of people called scientific facility. These are part of the institute who are maintaining the state-of-the-art, facility and instrumentations at and inside the Max Planck Institute. So as a facility group, Thin Film Technology, we are trying to maintain tip-top state of the thin film facilities. Let's say we are focusing on growing ultra-high-quality oxide thin films using various technology like oxide MBE, pulse laser deposition, or reactive sputtering. And also we provide metrology tools and metrology researches like X-ray-based metrology and atomic force microscopy to study the thin films we grew. And we collaborate a lot within the institute and also outside the institute to study these fascinating films we are growing using our facility.
As a follow-up on that, so it is highly specialized on the one hand, but as I hear, there is also an interdisciplinary part to it. Can you tell us which disciplines are involved?
So I would say thin film growth and characterization of it itself is a highly interdisciplinary science. For example, you need to make those films, right? This making films falls into the category of chemistry and material science. And then to study the physical properties of it, you need physics as well, and of course material science. And we also try to make devices out of this, quantum materials thin films. This also falls into category of, electronic engineering and quantum physics and so on. So I think thin film itself, thin film growth itself is highly interdisciplinary subject, yeah.
When you came to Stuttgart and became the head of this group, has the group existed already or did you build it up?
So this group, Thin Film Technology, has actually a pretty long history. So as far as I know, I'm the fourth generation of the group head. So the first group head, as far as I know, was Dr. Elizabeth Bauser. And at that time, four generations ago. So at that time, it was very unusual to have a female scientist as a group leader of this massive group. And this group, as far as I know, produced the highest quality thin films in Germany, and probably at the time in the world. And then there were second and third generation group leaders who are more focusing. So the first generation of group leader, she was mostly focusing on semiconductor materials, the technology of which was actually pioneered by many of the German scientists at the time. And then second and third generation of the group leaders were focusing more on the quantum materials, like superconducting materials and magnetic materials. And then they develop fascinating technologies like pulse laser deposition and oxide MBE to the level that we can really enjoy now. I am the fourth generation, and I would say I'm very privileged to have all the resources gathered by all these three previous group heads. And now I'm trying to also build up on it to make, let's say, a new and lively group again. Yeah.
You came to Stuttgart first as a graduate research assistant. So the choice for Stuttgart at the time, was this influenced by the importance, by the relevance of the group that, as you described it just, did the group, or word of the group already, had reached Korea and therefore you decided to come to Stuttgart? Or what was the motivation for you?
So at that time, obviously, I was doing my master's in Korea, master's in physics. And I was working in a National Institute, Research Institute called Institute for Basic Science, IBS. And this is the biggest institution in Korea to study basic science like physics, chemistry, and so on. And this was actually based on Max Planck Institute. So Korean government decided to benchmark, introduced this very successful and nice institution in Germany. And then during my study in Korea, obviously, I got to hear a lot about this Max Planck Institute in Germany. And the specific subject I was studying at the time was solid-state physics. And, this was also like Max Planck Institute. It is an international, very international ambience there. And some of the people actually came from Max Planck Institute. They studied there, and then they did postdocs there. And then they introduced me to this nice institute. And also, at that time, who became my professor at the time is Bernhard Kaimer. So he was one of the key figures in solid-state physics and very well-known scientist, obviously. He's a Max Planck director. And then I applied for him because I heard a lot of good stories about this place and also about my supervisor. So yeah, it was a wonderful, I was very fortunate. And I was lucky to hear have this kind of opportunity at that time.
So what I hear is, the topic has been very, very well established here in Stuttgart with a long tradition in an interdisciplinary field, as it is and has to be. I wonder which other countries are relevant for this kind of research that you are doing.
So quantum materials, thin films, or quantum materials in general, I would say this is a major part of condensed matter physics. And obviously, Germany has been very strong in this regard because a lot of excellent solid-state physicists and quantum physicists came from this area. So especially this Max Planck in Büsnau, plus University of Stuttgart too, as well. So Germany is definitely one of the strongest countries in the world. I would say U.S. is always has been strong in basically every discipline. So because it has like a lot of money and a lot of universities and many people. I would say another strong player, key player in this field is Japan as well. So in Japan, they also have a strong tradition in solid state physics. So I would say, yeah, Germany, US, Japan, and UK.
I can certainly see that you are deep into the field. And I can also hear that you like to talk about it. I see also your smiles on your face. So you are somebody, it seems to me, who wants to talk about your work. But you're also somebody, I think, who likes to promote science. In fact, you have done this very successfully. Recently, you have received an award from COFAC, which is the Korea Foundation for the Advancement of Science and Creativity. Can you tell us about, first, the relevance of that organization in Korea?
Yeah, so this organization is a government entity. So government founded this organization to promote, as you can see from the name of the organization, science and creativity. But mostly its work is related to, let's say, public science. So there are lots of researchers in Korea, and there's no doubt that Korea is doing well in, let's say, technological development, like semiconductor technology or car industry and so on. But Korean government, I think, they consider science communication with the general public is also very important for the future generation, and also for the people in general, because people with the scientific knowledge, beating all the, let's say, mysterious or unscientific beliefs, this is also important for, let's say, culture of Korea, and also for, let's say, general health of Korea, mental health of Korea as well, and, you know, civilization in general. So this, and Korea considers culture very important, like, you know, Korean government entertainment culture, as, I mean, of course, entertainment culture, but this organization also wants to incorporate this kind of scientific communication into entertainment culture and also pop culture. So, this organization has been doing a lot of jobs in, let's say, supporting people to publish, let's say, popular science books and science slams and science concerts, and also education, science education for, like, younger generations.
Now, in this particular picture that you described, how did you feel and how did you react when you learned that you were receiving this award?
Yeah, I felt honored, and I was very happy about it. And I never really expected to, you know, get this prize from the government. And I was very happy when I heard the news about it. And I even visited Korea to receive this prize, and it was a wonderful place to be. And this was in the middle of an event called Nano Korea 2024. So there were other government officials came, and then there were other awards from other, let's say, government organizations as well. And then it was cool to see all these people are really devoted to, let's say, science and technology and also scientific communication in general.
I really appreciate your dedication to this topic, also for the general public. I find it personally always very important that researchers can talk to their research community, but are also able to talk about it to the general public. The top-level professors that I met here at the university are very capable of that. We also have a center at the University of Stuttgart called IRIS, the Interchange Forum for Reflecting on Intelligent Systems, which reflects on the influence of science on society, which is exactly, I guess, what you also talked about and what the Green Institute is, COFAC, is also interested in. So it might be interesting for you to also check out IRIS and establish contacts there in the future. The contacts in the research group, am I right to remember that the members of the research group come from all over the world, or are they basically from Germany?
So Max Planck Institute itself is an international international research center, but my group in film technology is mostly German members. So our group has many technicians. Mostly we have many technicians who are trained as a, let's say, lab assistant. So they are also play a supporting role for the researchers. But we also have an interesting one scientist, German scientist, but who's Korean, who claims to be a Korean. So my colleague, Michael, is a German, but he spent 10 years in Korea. So he was a researcher in Korea for a long time in this institute I mentioned, IBS. And I would say he's, I cannot really define his identity as a German. So we do have one international researcher in my group.
Okay, that's a start. But it certainly helps, I could imagine, for you as the head of the group, but also before when you came here about 10 years ago or so as a student, that you also learned some German. At that time, you joined a choir, a regional choir called Musikwerk. Was it in Stuttgart or nearby?
It is in Stuttgart. And
were you interested in music before you came to Germany? Were you a singer in a choir in Korea? Or how did that connection actually start?
Of course, Koreans in general are very musical people. I don't know if you recognize from all the pop, K-pop music.
Sure do.
Of course, K-pop singers cannot really represent the general Koreans. But I would say... one of the favorite leisure activity of Koreans is going to karaoke, so singing. But I was never a member of choir or any band before I came to Korea. Before I came to Germany, sorry. But so when I joined this group in film technology as a PhD student, there was my colleague and my dear friend, Peter Specht. He was a member of this choir. And then, I was at the time alone and then, foreigner. And I was, it is not really nice to be, alone in the foreign country as a student. And then he introduced me to this choir. And I really... was hooked to this amazing choir. And, this choir was mainly singing pop music in English. So it was also for me easy to start off. And then there were very nice German people there who would very kindly talk to me in a very slow German such that I can understand them, and then I can also learn them. It was a very nice experience, I would say.
And that sounds like a win-win situation,
that
really.
That is a win-win situation.
Do you have a favorite German song that you were singing there? Although you just said these were mostly pop songs.
These were mostly pop songs, yeah.
But apart from that, is there a German song that you really, 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 really like?
So It is not, let's say, my favorite that I would sing in the karaoke, but it's like a earworm, right? Ohrwurm, right? This is the Mache die Tore weit. This is a Christmas song from like really old time. But this sounds very different from, let's say, modern German, I would say. And it sounds very elegant. So when the Christmas season comes, this song really comes to my mind. And then it's like a earworm. Once you, once you say it or once you sing it, then you can really feel the Christmas.
Feeling Christmas via language and with the help of singing certainly helps. That I guess we all can relate to. I would like to ask you about the importance of speaking the language of the host country one is in. The reason being, I was recently at a meeting where there was a discussion about how people from abroad who would come to Germany to find jobs actually would or would not need have to speak German to be successful here, also in the job environment, but perhaps also apart from that as well. What is your experience in this case? One colleague there said, no, the language is not that important. The main thing really is to focus on the job. What's your experience? How was it for you?
So, well, I have to admit that my German is not super, not perfect. But I think, okay, if you want to just do the job and if you want to just use this person, then language is not that important, right? Because let's say every person has a function, and then for that function, if that language is not necessary, then let's say the language is not that important. But I think if a person really, really wants to integrate it into this culture and also the whole, let's say, country, then I think it's really important to learn the language. And I would say in my institute, it's an international research center, so everybody speaks English. But still, I think there are certain things that, if you know German, then it's certainly better. And also the whole human interaction with even if it is an international organization, or let's say even companies like Zeiss or Infineon, Mercedes-Benz, Bosch, this is all international, right? And very diverse culture. But I think if you learn German, and then if you know the people in the, let's say, important positions or people who make decisions, who speaks German mainly, as their mother tongue, then if you can speak German to them, then it's better. You can feel the culture, you can feel the slight, very subtle, nuance there. So I think as a simple function, to sum up, as a simple function, English, of course, enough. But if you really want to enjoy the whole nuanced business and also the relationship with your colleagues, I think learning German will be of great help.
You have worked in a company, in a private company, and now you are at an academic institution. How are the two experiences working in these different spaces? How do they relate for you? Perhaps what were some differences that surprised you, and which areas did you benefit from most?
Yeah, so I was working at Samsung Semiconductor Research and Development. It's really hard to find a person who doesn't know this company, I will say, nowadays. It is a giant company, and it is let's say, very well-funded company. So when I joined this research center as a, let's say, staff engineer to develop new generation of semiconductors, I expected more of a hands-on experience on the whole process. So, you know, you are semiconductor engineer and semiconductor researcher. You would want to really conduct all the researches. But in industry, since it's so big and so important, you don't do this as a PhD, as a researcher with PhD. You usually don't do this yourself. So you usually have to ask other partner companies or your other junior researchers to do the jobs. And then you just gather the information and then, you know, report to the executive members and so on. But, you know, if in academia, not in the industrial setup, you do everything yourself. You manage collaboration with yourself. You make samples yourself. You characterize samples yourself. And I think this is the biggest difference between big industry and academic setup. So in academic setup, you would do everything yourself.
Now for yourself or on your own, you also wrote the book on superconductivity for general readers. But there was also a compilation book on material physics with other Korean physicists. So we have again those two tendencies, basically, on your own, but also with a group. What was your motivation and reason behind these two different projects?
So the first book was actually that compilation books with the other professors in physics professors in Korea. This was start off from the web magazine of Korean Institute of Advanced Science. So there, one of the professor invited, let's say, many physicists in Korea who study materials, which is a very foreign concept for general public, because if you think about physics, then it's black holes, special relativity, or quantum mechanics, not piece of material that you can grab on your with your hand, right? But this time, this professor had an idea that, yeah, there are a lot of physicists who study materials. Let's gather them all together and then write a series on this web magazine. And we wrote in total, I think, 11 pieces on this web magazine. My part was high temperature superconductivity. And then it was on the web for a while. And one of the publishing house actually contacted us to, you know, publish this.
And when you then went on, so after that sort of group work, you went on to talk about and write about the superconductivity.
So this has more of a, this needs more of a context, because I don't know if you are aware of this big scandal. Last year, there was a superconductivity, let's say room temperature superconductivity scandal. So there was a Korean, group of Korean researchers who claimed that they discovered room temperature superconductivity. This is, of course, if this was real, this was like era-changing discovery. And obviously, everybody in Korea, including also people in Germany, and all over the world, of course, were interested in this. And from the data of it, I was not convinced by this discovery. So I was on a media like TV and also radio, YouTube, to talk about this discovery. And I warned people to be more cautious about it, because the whole stock market was fluctuating like crazy. And this was a very strange moment in Korea. And, thanks to all this media presence, one of the publishing house also contacted me and then asked me to write this book. And, I mean, as a result, now I have the book. And then Korean people may know about superconductivity better now.
Fair enough. Definitely fair enough reason. But they also know, as you already mentioned before, about the German science landscape. And in your personal case, of course, the relevance of German science in your area as well. With this particular background, what do you think should German institutions of higher education do these days to promote their work even more so that, say, students from Korea would be attracted to come to Germany?
In my opinion, German institutions are doing not so bad, right? Because due to all the language barriers and such, I would say for Koreans, I cannot say for other countries, right? In Japan or China or all over the world, I cannot say for them. But as a Korean, German language is something that we never learn. So although we never learn German, I see a lot of Korean students in this area, Stuttgart. So I wouldn't say Germany is not doing so bad in this regard. But of course, if you compare this with countries like US or UK, these countries are, let's say, student magnet. Right? They attract a lot of students all over the world. This is, I think, in my opinion, this is power of pop culture and language. So, I mean, English language has been a major international language for a while. And also, although the quality of it can be, you know, debatable, the pop culture of US and UK is dominating the world. So I think German higher education institutions are doing their best to do their good research and also to help the international students. I think what's more to be done is not the job of, let's say, university. This is more of a pop culture and the trends now. This is my opinion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there a Korean community of students and scientists that you are aware of here at the university or in Stuttgart? Perhaps you are part of it.
I was a part of this, Korean scientists in Germany when I was a student. So they are organizing some workshops and they exchange information with each other. There is an organization, but I'm less of a member of this organization because I don't know. When I was a student, I needed some more community, but now I have my family, my daughter, and then I think I'm better off with all the group activities. But there is a big community in Germany and like the big Korean community in Germany. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for your research community at the institute, what will be the next steps that you would like to share with us in your research work?
So my ultimate goal is to integrate quantum materials into the current, let's say, semiconductor devices. Because if you think about the current semiconductor devices, there's not much going on from the materials point of view because you always use silicon and silicon germanium-based semiconductors. Even though we have this fantastic group, like class of materials called quantum materials, where you can get superconductivity, fantastic magnetism. So in the future, in the near future, what I want to focus on is to integrate this kind of quantum materials into electronic devices and all kind of devices. And as a thin film technology group, I want to focus on how to grow these materials and how to combine these materials chemically. Because these materials are not friends of each other. They don't want to stick to each other. So my goal would be study these two materials and then combine them.
Okay, and make them friends.
Make them friends, yeah, good friends.
Good friends, even, yeah. If possible. For your publication, do you think another book is upcoming, or will you focus more, you mentioned pop culture, but in that regard that may be too far-reaching, will you do more science slams and perhaps go in that direction?
So I am preparing some more books, pop science books as well. But so writing-wise, I would focus more on my research next year. So my plan is to finish writing these pop science books, let's say end of this year or early next year. But in Germany and pop science in general, I'm very much interested in science slams. Also, you know, giving public talks if there's an opportunity is given. So yeah, let's see how it pans out.
We have certainly heard the intention. So let's take it up, everybody in the audience. Here we have somebody who's ready to go for it. Gidok, at the end of our conversation, in this podcast, we always have a part called Moment 7. Collected 7 questions that we would like to ask you, and please answer them as shortly as possible. Moment 1: Spätzle or Maultaschen?
Maultaschen.
Moment 2: One thing that you could change about the world would be?
No war.
Moment 3: Do you have a media recommendation for us? A book, music, or movie?
You should watch Korean drama. There are a lot of fun stuff going on. Sorry.
Moment 4. The best advice you have ever received was?
Yeah. Focus on the essence of the work, not the perks that come with. Yeah.
Moment 5. The favorite place at the University of Stuttgart for you is?
The duck pond.
Moment 6. Please finish the sentence. If I could start all over again, I would do the following differently.
I don't know. I would do everything the same. Yeah.
And moment 7. Also, please complete the sentence. Thanks to my studies, I know that...
There are a lot of mysteries in the world and interesting problems.
Dr. Gidok Kim, 감사합니다.
Oh, 감사합니다.
Thank you for having joined our conversation here today, and all the very best for the work of your research group, for your work, for going ahead in the area that you are specializing in, and making friends between the different parts and beyond. And to our audience, please stay tuned for our next conversations that are always based on what is made in science. My name is Wolfgang Holtkamp. Have a great podcasting day. Goodbye and good talking.